Hello and welcome to our program today. We're going to study the subject of prayer, and we hope that you'll get your Bibles open and study with us on this very important subject. The subject is prayer, prayer to God. Prayer by a Christian, by a human being, to a deity, or the only deity, and that is unto God. That's what Christians are to do, and that's what we want to study today, so that we'll be better equipped to pray, and we will also believe that God answers our prayers. God does answer prayer. So let's begin our study today. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In other words, don't ever stop praying. Now that one passage alone, by the way, it's very easy to memorize, isn't it? Pray without ceasing. You can memorize that verse. There are many verses in the Bible we can memorize in just a few seconds of time. But that verse tells us that prayer is to be a significant part of our everyday life. If we pray without ceasing, we're going to be praying every single day. Now, prayer is so important that Jesus often taught how to pray. Here's one of the lessons on prayer. It's often called the Lord's Prayer, but it is not the Lord's Prayer. It is the Lord's teaching about how to pray. In Matthew 6, beginning with verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so we're to pray to the Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said, and that's what Jesus did, and that's what we're supposed to do. Furthermore, he said, pray for the kingdom, thy kingdom come. Of course, the kingdom has come. It is the church, and we can still pray for the church. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So that's what we're to pray for. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray for food every day. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we're to pray for forgiveness of sins. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so we can pray that we can live a pure life, and with God's help we can. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then it goes on to talk about forgiveness. And so Jesus gave instructions on how to pray. We're not in the dark on that. We do know how to pray because the Bible includes teaching on prayer, and also it includes some prayers, even the prayer of Jesus in John 17, and there are some other places where we see Jesus praying. But man asks, does God answer prayer? Does he hear my prayer? Does he ignore my prayer? Many people doubt prayer. Now, that's what the devil wants us to do. And we have all perhaps doubted our prayers to God, doubting whether God would send the rain, doubting whether God would heal the loved one that was sick, doubting whether God would keep someone safe who was fighting a war. We would pray these things, but then we would turn around and doubt them. Now, God answers prayer, and God does not want us to be doubting him in our prayers. I want to read from Mark 11, verse 23 and following, where the Bible says, For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And so what does God want us to do? Believe that he answers prayer. There's no question about that. That verse is vividly clear. God does not want us to doubt. He wants us to pray and believe that God answers prayer. In the book of James, he has a similar teaching here. In James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God does not want us to doubt him when we pray. Prayer should be a significant part of our everyday life. We don't have a lack of information on how to pray because the Lord taught us how to pray. It's very simple. You address the Father, you give thanks, you make request, and then you ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, he hears prayer, but he does not want you doubting him that he heard you. God can hear perfectly. He doesn't need a hearing aid. He doesn't need any help. He can hear you exactly the words that come out of your mouth when you speak them. So the lesson today that we want to study is God answers prayer. He definitely answers prayer. God answers prayer. Or why else would he ask us to pray? Wouldn't it be ridiculous that God says pray without ceasing? But half the time, I'm not even going to be hearing what you say. That's wasted effort. That's not our God. Our God does not waste any words. He does not waste any efforts. Everything he does is with a purpose. Everything he teaches us to do has a purpose. And he has taught us to pray. Now, what part of that model prayer will he not hear? When we say, and Jesus said, after this manner, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Will he not hear that? Hallowed be thy name. Will he fail to hear that? What part of that prayer will he fail to hear? Pray for the forgiveness of our sins. Will he fail to hear that? No, he won't fail to hear any of it. So let's not think that God only listens to some of our prayers and not all of our prayers, and that somehow he's not going to hear the important things that we pray for or respond to them. You know, that's just not true at all. In Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh," listen to this, "everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, we'll give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And so God is going to answer our prayers. Let's be sure that we have that point down in our minds. God is going to hear every word that we say, every prayer that we utter. The Bible says over here in James 4, it says in verse number 2, you lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war and yet you have not because you ask not. You don't have it because you do not ask it. God wants us to be asking him in prayer. In James chapter 5 also, We read this in verse number 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one for another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. God wants us to pray. And he shows in that passage that he answers prayer. If we pray for the sick will get well. If we pray for rain, it will rain. If we pray that it not rain, it will not rain. God will answer our prayers. He hears every prayer and he answers it according to his wisdom. Now, we hadn't got to the part of our lesson that he answers every prayer. But sometimes his answer is, no, you can't have what you're asking for. But he's going to answer all of our prayers. In 1 John chapter 5, it says this in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And so we can pray. We can pray for others. And whatsoever we pray, God is going to hear. And when he hears, he's going to respond according to his wisdom. Now let's believe that. Let's believe that with all that we have. Now he does answer prayer. Now how does he do that? Well, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29 and 29, that the things that are written are given to us that we might know his will, but there are other things that are secret, the secret things of God. He has not revealed unto us. There are secrets that belong to God. We don't know how he answers prayer. How does your mind work? Well, I don't know how it works, but I do know it works. How could the prophets tell the future? Somehow God supplied the information to them. How do the seeds germinate that God made and grow into big trees? Well, God knows how that works. We don't know. You know, we don't know how he answers everything and does everything. In Job chapter 2, we read of Job being smitten by the devil of boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. How did the devil make boils all over Job? How did the devil move to kill the 10 children of Job, the 7 sons and the 3 daughters? We're told that he did, but we're not told how he did it. How did Jonah live inside the great fish for 3 days? How did that fish swallow him and then spit him back up on the shore? We don't know how all that worked, but we do believe that God did those things. How did God make those walls of Jericho fall down? It doesn't say how he did it, but the Bible says that it did come to pass. In Psalm 23, The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." But it goes on to say, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." How does his rod and how does his staff protect us? I don't know. He says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How does he do that? What does God do to provide that? We don't know how that works, but we believe every word of it. We've read Psalm 23 many, many times, and it's always comforted us. We don't know how he does these things. Maybe that's part of our problem. We don't know, and we can't see him doing the things that he's doing. Maybe that's a part of our problem of why we doubt that God actually answers our prayers. But he really does. God answers your prayers. He answers my prayers. He answers the prayers of the church. God does answer every prayer. And somebody asked me, does God answer every prayer? Yes, he does. Now, sometimes his answer is, no, I can't fulfill what I'm not going to fulfill what you've asked. I'm not going to do it. And he did that with his very own son, Jesus Christ. In Matthew 26, we read of the prayers of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we read in that passage where Jesus took three disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. In Matthew 26 and verse 39, it says, "And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But notice what Jesus says. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Let's realize, as Jesus realized, that it's up to God to make the decision whether it should be answered or not. God's the one that decides, and we should want him to decide, because he's the all-knowing God. Verse 40, "And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then he went and prayed again a third time," verse 44, "saying the same words." You know, Jesus was saying, "Your will be done." That's what we should be saying. We should be saying, "Lord, save this sick loved one of mine, but it's your will be done." And so this is God's only begotten Son. He loved him very, very much, but he didn't take that cup away, that cup of suffering. And Jesus prayed that prayer earnestly. The Bible says in the book of Luke that Jesus was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. You talk about an earnest prayer. You talk about an effectual prayer. Jesus prayed it. And yet the Lord said, that cannot be. He prayed, "Thy will be done." And God's will was done. He went to the cross and died for our sins. Another person who prayed was Paul the Apostle. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and following, "And I, lest I should be exalted above measure through an abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul was perfectly all right with God not taking that thorn in his flesh away. Isn't that something? God sometimes says, "No, I'm not going to take your thorn away. No, I'm not going to take this cup of suffering away." And sometimes we want things that we cannot have. Paul wanted something. Christ wanted something that he could not have. Isn't that something? And in the case of Solomon in 1 Kings 3, verses 5 through 14, God told Solomon to ask whatever he wanted. And Solomon said, I want wisdom. And God gave him wisdom, but God even gave him more. He didn't ask for riches, but God gave him riches. Sometimes God doesn't give us exactly what we want, as in the case of Jesus and as in the case of the Apostle Paul, but sometimes he'll give us more than what we've asked for, as he did in the case of Solomon. You know, there's just nothing too hard for God to do. Please believe that God can answer prayer. Sometimes it's not in our best interest for God to give the thing requested unto us. But let's pray like Jesus prayed, Thy will be done. Let's remember that nothing's too big for God. We need to believe that God can do it if it's His will and if it's in His wisdom to do these things. Sometimes we think something ought to be done a certain way, but God's wisdom is greater than our wisdom. Let's remember that nothing is too small or too insignificant or too tough for God to do. Ephesians 3 and 20, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's powerful. His word brought into existence every planet, every star, every galaxy, the entire universe. Don't tell me there's something God cannot do. God made the Grand Canyon. God made the Pacific Ocean. God made the Rocky Mountains. God made every species of plant, every species of animal, every species of insect. How could he even think of all of those different species? How could he think of the platypus and the dragonfly and all of these beautiful creatures that we see? There's nothing too difficult for God who could bring all of these things into existence. He brought the flood of Noah's day. That was a powerful flood. He parted the Red Sea. He has raised many dead people and fed the multitudes with a small amount of bread and fish. He can do literally everything that is possible. His power and His ability are well documented in the Bible. He has power over everything. Now, what we need to do is make sure we're praying the right way. We need to make sure that we're doing what 1 Timothy 2 and 8 says. We are to pray lifting up holy hands. Let's make sure our life is right. Before we start saying God didn't do something right, let's make sure our lives are right. And to have holy hands means you've got to be obedient to God. And let's be sure to put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then God can grant His blessings to us. If we're not putting the kingdom of God first, we're not doing His will. And so let's be sure that we're following God's will. Yes, God answers prayer. Please have faith in prayer. Please make prayer a constant part of your everyday life. That's what Christians do. What do Christians do? They pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And I want to encourage you, dear brother and sister, who are listening out there, and you who are not a brother or sister, I want the brothers and sisters to keep on praying. And if you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. You need to confess Jesus, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 10 and 32. And you need to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 22 and 16. You need to obey the gospel and become a Christian, and God will answer your prayers. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for your interest in God's Word. We're going to make it to heaven, but we can't give up. We've got to remain faithful, and I want to encourage you to be a faithful, loyal servant of Jesus Christ. This has been Richard Massey from the Windmill Church of Christ, 4839 Tin Top Road, Weatherford, Texas, 76087. We're glad you've been listening to us. God bless you through the day.